Ready? Huh? Okay, Rabbi Zai. Last week I gave over the Avnei Nezer, the Tanai of the Avnei Nezer, and someone brought to my attention that one point was not clear. We're dealing with the issue of eating the Avikamin before Chatzos. The halacha is that one needs to eat the Avikamin before Chatzos. In many places, in many homes, it's very difficult because the Haggadah takes very long, and we find ourselves way before hitting Chatzos way before the Avikamin. So the Avnei Nezer gives advice in the following way. He says that there are two opinions as to when the Avikamin has to be eaten. One is by Chatzos, and one is by Alois HaShachar, which is dawn, the next morning. Now the halacha is that one is not allowed to eat after the Avikamin. But each opinion holds that you're only not allowed to eat until the time that you're allowed to eat the Avikamin. Meaning, once you eat the Avikamin, according to the opinion that holds that you could eat the Avikamin until dawn. So according to that opinion, after you eat the Avikamin, you're not allowed to eat anything else until dawn. But according to the opinion that holds that you need to eat the Avikamin before Chatzos, then the Isra of eating after the Avikamin is also only until Chatzos. After Chatzos, you're allowed to eat. So, the Avnei Nezer says that he has a simple condition that everybody can make. He says, but when you see that Chatzos is approaching, and hopefully at that point you're at least by Shulchan Aruch already, you're at least by your meal, right? So, when you see Chatzos is approaching, right before Chatzos, take a kezias of matzah and eat it. And have in mind, make it tonight. If the halacha is that you have to eat the Avikamin before Chatzos, then this is the Avikamin. And then, just since it's right before Chatzos now, just wait a few minutes until after Chatzos, and then you continue eating. Because it's you're ready, according to that opinion, you're allowed to eat after Chatzos. And if the halacha is like the opinion that you're allowed to eat the Avikamin until the Alois, then I mean eat my Avikamin later, and this is just a plain Kezayis matzah. That's the Tanai of the Avnei Nezer. So I didn't say it correctly by the previous year. So we were holding. I'm just going through the steps of the Seder. Hopefully today I'll have some time to go a little bit more in depth. But let's first finish the Seder, and we're holding by the beginning of Magid. So, first of all, I forgot to mention the Zohar Kodesh says in that Zohar that we say right before Magid, the Zohar says that it is also it's a mitzvah, it's an inyan that a person should talk about the miracles that happened to themselves. If a person had a miracle in their life, they should relate it. At their Seder, related to B'chol, just in general, it's important to give that over so that to infuse Emunah and Hashem in ourselves and in our children. So we were holding by refilling the second Kois, which is after Holach Ma'anya. Right before Manishtana, we refill the second Kois. And then there's Manishtana. So, the minhag in my father's home is that all the children ask the four kashas. From the youngest to the oldest. No matter how old. Even married. Married children. Boys, girls, women. They all ask the kashas. What? Casks. One second. No, each one separately. The and the, huh?
Probably
And they would ask, and in our family, we'd ask it, and besides saying the Lashon Kodesh, we'd say it in Yiddish also. So the, huh? Yeah. I know, the main point is to say it, just not to say the words, to say it in a language that you understand. So if somebody speaks Spanish, they speak Spanish. If somebody speaks Russian, they should say it in Russian. It should be said in a language that the children know what they're saying. The minhag by us, I don't know where that came from, is that it was started by the youngest and all the way to the oldest. And then also the guests that were at the Seder, whoever was there with their parents, the father or their mother, the guests would also say the four kashas to their parent. It took a very long time. And then again, throughout Magid, there were many divrei Torah that were said to be able to. Main thing is to bring Yetzias Mitzrayim, to bring the Haggadah closer to our hearts, for us to be able to relate to it. So anybody else that had questions throughout the Seder would be asking, my father would be answering. Then after Magid, well, actually, throughout Magid, let's talk about more about Magid. Throughout Magid, there are numerous places where we lift the kais, such as by Vihisha Amda, by the Fichach, Anachna Chayav Lahoides. There are different places where it says in Haggadah to lift the kais. And the halacha is that when you lift the kais, you're supposed to cover the matzahs. I mean, otherwise, during Magid, the matzahs are supposed to be revealed. You're supposed to have the matzah in front of you. The one of the reasons that it's called matzah, why the Torah calls matzah lechem oini, is because she'oinim olav dvarim habri, is because we say Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim over the matzah. So throughout the Haggadah, the matzah is supposed to be open. And but before you lift the kois, you're supposed to cover the matzahs. The reason the Magen Avraham explains the reason is for doing so is the same reason as the challahs are covered every Friday night when you make kiddush, because we don't want to embarrass the challah. The challah is written first, is made out of a grain, and usually the bracha on grain comes before the bracha on wine. So when you give attention to the wine, you're supposed to cover the challah in order not to shame the challah. So the same would apply here. I was thinking today, perhaps the deeper reason is because the matzah, it's written in this forum that the matzah represents das. The Gemara says that a child doesn't know how to talk until they taste grain. You can't even say father, tata, until he tastes grain. That's what it says in the Gemara. So it represents das in a PR, according to the Ari. That's the reason why there are three matzahs, because in moichin, in intellect, there are three levels. There's chachma, bina, and das. The three matzahs correspond to chachma, bina, and das. So the matzahs represent das. We know that wine represents lemalam and adas, represents above das. Right? As we on Purim, you're supposed to drink wine ad lo yoda, right? Until you don't know anymore. Until a person is above das. Above das represents emunah. Emunah is faith. Faith is something. Das means when you understand. It's something it's reason. Emunah is lamal min adas. Emunah is faith. It's believing, even what we don't understand. So, although a Yid is supposed to understand as much as they can, we're supposed to understand as much as we can, in Torah, in God and Elikus and godliness, nevertheless, after everything that we know, we need to know that we don't know. Taglis idea, the ultimate knowledge is Shalai Neda, that we know that we don't know, that it's way above our grasp, that godliness is way above our grasp. And that's what Emunah is. We understand that we don't need to understand everything. And that's what the wine represents. So as when we lift the wine, we have to cover the matzahs, which is to just cover, to put away our das. That's what we're doing when we lift the wine. We're putting away the das and saying, Rabbeinu Shloilam, I have a total faith in you, whether I understand or not. It's very similar to covering our eyes when we say Shema Yisrael Shem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Our eyes is what would allow us to see, and to represents the Einei HaSeichel, the eyes of the intellect. It allows us to comprehend. But when it comes to saying Shema Yisrael Shem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, which is our declaration of Emunah, we cover our eyes. It has nothing to do with what we see, with what we understand. We have absolute faith. And that's why we say one of the times that we lift the kois and we cover the matzahs, we say v'hi sham d'lavisenu v'lanu. This is what stood for us in our forefathers. Because in every generation they stand up, the nations rise up against us to destroy us. This is what withstood. What withstood? What stood for us? The answer is it's what this wine represents. The wine represents the malam and adas. It represents amuna. We're mevatel adas to the Rebbeinu Shloilam. That is what stood for us in all generations. Chassid Yavetz was in the times of the Spanish Inquisition. He writes that at the time of the Spanish Inquisition, those who had emuna pshuta, those who had simple emuna, allowed themselves to be sacrificed al kiddush Hashem. The women, the children, they gave up their lives on Kiddush Hashem. He said it was the people that grasped godliness in their own seichel were those who philosophized about godliness. Those were the people that gave up their religion to save their lives. It's v'hisham d'lavisein v'lon. It's specifically the lamalam adas. It's the emuna. In the Rabbeinu Shloilam, the understanding that we don't understand, that is what stood for us in our forefathers to remain steadfast to our religion despite all the persecutions in all the generations. I heard a beautiful vort on Vehisha Amdal of Yisein of Alanu. Also on the fact that we lift the kais and we cover the matzahs is because the matzahs, the obligation to eat matzahs is biblical. It's a daraisa. The obligation to drink the four kaises is rabbinic. It's a drabbanan. What we're saying, we cover the matzahs and we lift the kais and we say v'hisham d'lavisenu v'lanu. It's the rabbinical decrees and guidelines throughout the generations that it is to their credit that we're still around. When it comes to the ten makas, there are many different minhagim. What you do with the wine? The Arminig, which is based on the Arizal, is to pour a little bit of wine off the kais. When you say each makah, and when you say the Simonim Datzachadash Machav, and when you say Dam Va'esh Simonis Oshan, by each one you pour off a little bit drop of wine. The Magen Avraham brings that there are those that use their pinky to take off a drop of wine into their by every makkah. And then the Magen Avraham brings that that's incorrect. He says it's incorrect. He used the pinky. And that one should use their finger, their pointing finger. Because the reason why to use the finger altogether is because the pasuk says by the makkah it says etzba lekim hi, the chartumim of Paroi, the sorcerers of Paroi said this is the finger of Hashem. So, as a remembrance to that, we use the finger to take off some wine from by each makkah. So, therefore, one should use the etzba, the finger that's called the etzba, which is the pointing finger. Because it says etzba lekim hi. Then the Magen Avraham brings, so far we have three opinions. There's the opinion to pour it off, which is the Arizal. The opinion to use the pinky, which the Magen Avraham says is incorrect. Then he says brings the opinion to use the pointing finger, because etzba lekim hi. Then he brings the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer says that there are five times in the Torah that Hashem's finger is mentioned. And one of them is this etzba lekim hi. And each time, says Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, each time that Hashem used his finger, he used a different finger. And the finger that he used by the makkahs, is the finger next to the pinky. So the Magen Avraham says to use that one, to use the finger next to the pinky to take the wine off the Ba'ish makkah. So, four opinions. Pinky, the finger next to the pinky, the pointing finger, or pouring off.
Which hand?
Everything a Yid does is with the right hand. Then use the left hand. That's your right. It's considered your right hand.
Wait,
Magen Avraham says the finger next to the pinky. First he says he brings one opinion to use the etzba.
That's called the pointer.
And then he says, and then he brings the pinky to the other to use the finger next to the pinky. That's what he ends with, yeah. No. We do the Arizal, which is to pour it off. It's very interesting that I just heard from the Talmud Rosh Hashiva, Shmuel Yehuda Levin, was spoke at the Vayetzer Cheder yesterday. So he said that Reb Shimon Schwab was at the Chofetz Chaim Seder, and the Chofetz Chaim used his pinky to take the wine off by the makkahs. So he asked the Chofetz Chaim, he says, you write in the Mishnah Brura that you conclude like the Magen Avraham that you should use the other finger, the finger next to the pinky. Why are you using your pinky? You yourself write in the Mishnah Brura. So the Chofetz Chaim said, in Mishnah Brura I write the halacha, but by a Seder I do what my father did. It's a very powerful story. There's the halacha, and then there's you're not mashiach. You don't change the minhag. By the seder, titma was the tatot katin. You do what your father did at the seder, and his father uses pinky. After all that pouring or whatever you do, whichever finger you use, usually there is a significant amount of wine missing from your kois afterwards. So, and the kois is supposed to be full during Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So therefore, immediately after the makkahs, all the kois should be refilled for the rest of the Haggadah. The wine that was poured off should... A person should be very careful that wine is to pour out that wine. It should not be that nobody should drink it, and it shouldn't be poured in a place where people step. It's considered very destructive wine. It's got the power of the makas in it. When one gets to Pesach Matzah Morah, towards the end of the Magid, Pesach Matzah Morah, that is, we say over there that Rambam Gamliel says that whoever doesn't say Pesach Matzah Morah by their Seder is not Yotzeh, does not fulfill their obligation. And each one comes with a description. Pesach, why do we eat the Korban Pesach? And why do we eat the Matzah? Why do we eat the Morah? It's very important that everybody that is obligated to fulfill mitzvahs, that they should know what they're saying. So, and my father said, my father would have someone translate those three paragraphs into English that make sure that everybody understood. So, once again, whichever language is the spoken language, the language understood, it should be, one should be careful to make sure that these three, Pesach Matzah Morah, are understood well. I believe that the reason why Rambam Gamliel says that Pesach Matzah Morah is the ikar of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is because, as we spoke about last week, our children learn by example and not by what we tell them. So we can talk about Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim from today till tomorrow and tell them how wonderful it is. And I'm sure that's going to go into their mind and into their heart. But when we show them that we're eating matzah and maror, that's much more powerful than just talking about it. So says Rambam Gamliel, and Rambam Gamliel was talking about Bizmasha Beis HaMikdash Kayim when Pesach was also eaten. Rambam Gamliel says, Pesach matzah maror, that's the ikar Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Meaning, it's the main Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is your child seeing you involved in the mitzvahs of Pesach Matzah Morah. That speaks much louder than words. So that remains the ikar of the main part of Yetzias of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. I guess. I mean, you have the Balabais reading the Haggadah, and if the Balabais understands Lashon Kodesh, will be reading the Lashon Kodesh. You know, people following along can read the English. Either they do understand, they don't understand. It's not essential that people should understand every word of the Haggadah. But what is essential is Pesach Matzah Morah. I would say that it is that there is definitely Ruach HaKodesh in the words of the Haggadah. The Baal Haggadah wrote it with Ruach HaKodesh, and those words have a strong koyach. Whether they have to be translated into English afterwards, it's dependent on what item you have. But I believe that the words of the Haggadah have to be said.
We know who wrote the Haggadah.
It's a big machlekes. I mean, it's really it's a mystery. We do know that it was somebody very holy.
What are the opinions?
Huh?
What are the opinions?
Not for this year. By Rochtza Moitzi Matzah, which is after Magid, is the time to that everybody goes and washes their hands for the matzah. So everyone at the Seder has to have supposed to chatchili two kezesim. two olive sizes of matzah. And we know that our olives have shrunk. And the kezesim used to be much bigger. So, what we do is we have other matzah besides the matzah that we have in our seder plate. We have other matzah for all the rest of the people at the seder. So we give out two kezesim for each person before we go wash, so that each person has matzah after they come wash to eat to be mekayim the mitzvah. It's important that the kezias of matzah should be eaten within petach de achilas pras. Meaning, in order for the achila to be considered one achila, it has to be eaten within a certain amount of time, which, according to the most stringent opinion, is 2 minutes. So, so one should try to eat it as quick as possible without choking. Achila gasa means when you eat when you're full. That's what achila gasa means. You mean to say that it looks gluttonous? That's what you mean when you're trying to stuff your mouth. There's a way to do it that one is able to eat it. I've never seen anybody eating matzah look gluttonous. I try to eat it within 2 minutes. The two kezesim is usually 3/4 of a matzah, of a shmura matzah. That's 2 kezesim. The same applies to the maror. By us, our minhag is to eat remain lettuce for maror. And obviously we dip it into charoisis and shake off the charoisis. You're not supposed to leave too much of the charoisis on it. Once again, one should make sure to distribute to everyone at the Seder that they should have kezias of mar before one makes the brachas. So to see to it that everybody has their kezesim and then make the brachas and eat the mar. By koirech, we use the those who have a kar, or those who have a seder plate, use the bottom matzah. All you need is a kezias, and you're supposed to put a kezias of maror in between the two pieces of matzah. For that, our menig is to use the horseradish, which was ground that day, There are, if one needs to add a piece of lettuce to soften the blow, then one can definitely do so. And once again, you have a whole bunch of people at the Seder that don't have a Seder plate, that don't have the bottom matzah, so one has to distribute matzah and maror before going into Korech. Everyone at the Seder should have the kezias of matzah and maror to fulfill this this minig of Korech.
Isn't there a sheet to the two kezias and matzah, because Pesach is matzah, so if you take the place of Pesach, you need another kezias of matzah.
Because of Pesach and
matzah and maror.
So one against the one. Come here.
Yeah.
Now, after Korech, the minhag is to remove the karas from the table so that there should be room for the meal. In our home, we're very careful, even after the karas move from the table, to keep that the matzah should not be put directly on the table, just for concern that it might get wet. For those of us who don't eat gebrachts, we're very careful the matzah should not get wet. So we're always careful to make sure the matzah is on top of something like a napkin or not directly on the table. The first thing that we eat by Shulchan Aruch is an egg dipped in salt water. The reason for this minig is, says the Rama, is because an egg symbolizes mourning. M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. It symbolizes mourning. And because it's round, it represents the circle of life. The night of Pesach is always the night going to be the same day of the week as Tisha B'Av. There's a simon for that Adbash. Aleph, which is the first night of Pesach, is going to be the same night as Tisha B'Av. Second night of Pesach is going to be the second night, the same night as Shavuos. So on. So, since it's going to be the same night as Tisha B'Av, we have we eat the egg as a sign of Avelus. Chassam Sofer adds that this minhag of eating eggs on the 15th night of Nisan was a minhag that they kept in Mitzrayim. And he explains that this night, the night of the 15th night of Nisan, was considered a day of Avelus because that was the night of the Bris Bein Absarim. The Bris Bein Absarim, where Hashem told Avram that his descendants will be strangers and enslaved and afflicted for 400 years, that was Pesach night. So that night, from that point on, became a night of mourning. So an egg would be eaten as a sign of mourning from that time on. He brings numerous things that happened that was considered a night that was Mukhan LeParani, is very similar to Ar Tisha B'Av. It was the Bris Bein Absarim. It was that night that Sarah was kidnapped by Paroi. It was that night that night that Yaakov came down to Mitzrayim and stood in front of Paroi. It was on the 15th night of Nisan that the Kushi Hashibud began, that the extra slavery began. But on that same night, it was Nepach Miyogain L'Simcha. That night was transformed from a day of Avelus into a day of Simcha. So it's actually, the eating of the egg on Pesach night is actually gives us hope. Because this night that we're celebrating now was always kept as a day of mourning. And our Tisha B'Av goes along with the Ramah. It comes to tell us that our Tisha B'Av that we hold as a day of mourning will also eventually be reversed into a day of Simcha like our Pesach is now. By Tzofon. Once again, a person has to eat a kezayis of matzah. This is where the Pesach is. By Afikoyman, the tzofon that we eat Afikoyman. So once again, one needs to distribute to make sure that everybody at the Seder has a kezayis of matzah to fulfill their obligation of Afikoyman. And after Afikoyman, nothing else can be eaten. And one can drink water after the Afikoyman, and obviously the remaining two kaises. What?
The Rav said at the beginning, after it says you can eat.
We're machmer until alois. Yeah, they're like the shita that holds until the alois. There are two shittas. One holds until chatzos, one holds until alois. We're machmer on both ends. We're machmer to eat afikomen before chatzos, but we're also machmer not to eat anything until alois. No coffee. You're eating the Afikomen right before Chatzos. That's how he says. If you see Chatzos is coming, so right before Chatzos, eat a kezayis. Right? And then make a condition. Condition is, if the shita that says until Chatzos is true, then this is the Afikomen, and then I can eat after Chatzos already. Right? But if the shita of the alois is true, I'm going to eat off a kaiman later. And then I can't eat until I have the alois.
So it's 15 minutes, so we just stop eating at that time.
Don't do it then. Wait until right before chazais.
You're not being hypocritical by starting to eat.
What?
You're not being hypocritical by starting
to eat after chazais, 2 minutes later? No, you're not. That's what he's explaining. You're saying you're making a try. Borech is benching the balabai. If there is, if a person has three men at the Seder, then the balabai should be the one benching, should be the one leading the benching. And every person, men and women, should hold their kois during benching. After benching is over, we pour the kois Eliyahu. And we have the door opened. The reason why we open the door is, besides to, as the children say, to open the door for Eliyahu HaNavi, it's also to show that we believe that it says in the Torah, it's Leil Shimurim, it's a guarded night, and no harm can befall us. We open the door, and we're not concerned that anyone unwelcome is going to come into our house. When the door is open, we say Shvay Chamascha, a couple of psukim in the Haggadah. Our minhag is to stand when we say Shvay Chamascha. After Shvay Chamascha is when we fill the fourth kais. And we say after we fill the fourth kais, we say Hallel. With the person should say halal with tremendous simcha, with the nigun. Halal is perhaps one of the most important parts of the evening. Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, relating the praises, is relating the story of Mitzrayim is one thing, but then the main point is that a praise should emanate from within us to praise Hashem for taking us out of Mitzrayim and for all the miracles that He does with us. What, during Hallel? No. Mm-hmm. No. And after Hallel is near, after we... So interesting that my father's minig is that after we drink the fourth kais, before you say the Baruch Achrayna, my father distributes the kais Eliyahu. He pours the cup. By that point, no one wants to drink anything anymore. Because after four choices, usually you don't want to drink anymore, but you got to add some more and have a little bit more of kasha. You have a little. He pours the kasha liyo into everyone's cup, and we have a little bit of kasha liyo. Now, halachically, I believe it's a problem because one is not supposed to drink any more wine after the four koises, because the neder kamoisa fala koises. Looks like one is adding to the koises. But as the Chafetz Chaim says, that's what my father does. So that's what we do. So, yes, of course. Doesn't make any sense. But most of the things that we keep on, the chumras that we keep on Pesach, don't make any sense. But we do it anyway, because that's our Masorah. Then comes Nirtza, once again, singing, involving the children, whichever ones are still awake. I can tell you that my main memories of childhood are from, I mean, of my Pesach memories from my childhood are from Nirtza. We all sit on my father's lap and we would sing. It was, sing, yeah, but it was more. It was, once a year we got my father's attention. But it's ingrained in my memory. The second Seder night, at that point after the Seder we would count Sfira. There are those that don't count the second night after Maariv because we're concerned about Atarta Desasri. Once you count Sfira, you're declaring that it's already Tezayin Nissan. If that's the case, how can you go and eat Matzin Mara? So therefore, our minig is to count Sfira after the Seder.
I don't mean the
Tezayin Nissan. Eating
the Matzin
Mara is the... Yeah, it's Tezayin Nissan. There's no Matzin Mara, only Tezvav. To make a bracha? Right, yeah, I'm talking about, yeah.